Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. Never underestimate God's work and His plan. Many times people don't follow through with the things that He will give, the things that He's giving, because they underestimate it on their side, and they don't know how to judge His side. Now, what I'm saying is, we're looking at our inexperience on our side. In my case, I was paying attention to what I didn't know and understand. And I didn't know where God was coming from when he gave me assignments, when He called me to the ministry in the first place. And when He gave the assignments He gave me, I couldn't see the end result. I'm on my side, I know I don't know what to do. And I didn't know how to judge His side. You know, there's a God with side and a man with side. And so I always underestimated what He wanted me to do until I started obeying Him. And everything He gave me to do always worked out. And he caused me to say things that needed to be said. And that's how I found out that God thinks of everything. And He likes to take something that people would excuse, something that people will overlook, and use them mightily. And it's amazing to me how, if we just cooperate, we'll do that mighty work. And people will look at us like, how did you do that? How did you know to do that? We don't know to do nothing. We learn as we go. Now, some things the Lord will train us for, because He is foundational. And most of that training He deals with us is character things. We have to be resilient against the world system. We have to be willing to fight. We have to be willing to obey. We have to be willing to stand. We have to be willing to hold our ground. We have to be willing to advance and learn and grow. And if we do that, then we're preparing to do whatever it is He gives us to do. And we don't have to think about what His side is. We just know it's going to work. If we trust Him at all, we know that God is going to not waste our efforts. He's not going to wait. If he give us something to do and we obey it, the Lord will not waste what is holy. He will not waste not one drop of Jesus' blood. He will save everybody that's willing. And everybody that wants to be obedient to His word, He will save them. He will open doors for them. And He will guide the right people to minister to them, that they may enter heaven and enter into the kingdom of God. And He's trying to give us the whole kingdom. And He never limits us at all. If God called you to be a teacher, that's the last of the five. He can use some teachers mightier than He's, you know, you're not limited in how far you can go with your calling. The teacher may be the least, but Brother Horton said, take everything you have and bring it in the kingdom with you and give it to Jesus. Just like the little boy's lunch, so Jesus will lay hands on it and bless it, and then He'll multiply it. Now, we do that we don't literally hand Him our lunch and let Him bless it, but we take what we have and we yield ourselves to the Lord, and He will bless it and use us mightily. We give God some of our time. We give Him our time. We give Him our strength. When we put our hands to the plow, so to speak, when we do the work of the ministry, we're offering our efforts, our body, our physical strength. When we take time to study the Word of God, when we take time to learn, when we ask the Holy Spirit questions so he can guide us better. Those are things that we can continually do. We don't have to worry about all the ins and outs of what we have to do in the ministry. If we can work on obeying God, if we can set our heart and our tongue to speak God's word that we may obey him, we will do a mighty work. It may not look like much to man, but God in heaven, they'll be able to see the end result of what God gives us to do. He can cause you to speak the right words to the right people at the right time, and it can cause a revival to happen. Never underestimate what God can do in your life. Never underestimate what God can do with your life. Never underestimate the time, the short time you have. Because if you give it to Jesus, he'll bless it and multiply it. Now, that's just the way it is. And every time he gives me an assignment and it works out, I'm amazed at it. And I've had the Lord to tell me things that I can't see. And it's amazing to my mind. And I don't tell people everything he tells me. I tell him, I minister what he gives, but I know what I'm talking about. If you yield yourself to the Lord and just present yourself holy, and just yield to it, just do what he say do, he's going to tell you what to do, and you'll do it, and it's going to work. How good is that? That's holy. That's wonderful. It's even amazing to me. And I just can't get enough of the things of God. I love him. I love his word. I love his will. I love his ways. I love his guidance. I love his correction. Everything that he's about, I love him. And I want my whole life to represent God. All of it. Everything I do, I want it to be done in spirit and in truth. That's my desire. I may not be good at everything I want to be good at, but that's my desire. That's my honest desire. And if you fail, God's not after you with a stick if you fail. If you do some things, you know, we can always do things better. Don't think about failure. Think about success. Think about where you're going. And think big. Pastor, you know, that was a word of prophecy that Pastor gave this year. Think big. Look at what God can do. Look to him. That's one way to be purified. Because Jesus said, if your eye be single, if you're single, if your heart's desire is to obey God, and you're regarding his word as your final answer, as your first and last resort, his word, you're looking to him. And as you study, you're going to receive it, and you're going to see him. You'll see him as you study his word. And you'll have the most holy faith, sincerity towards God. And that's what God can use. That's the kind of person that God can use to do mighty things with. And then as you gain ground, remain there. Remain. Never go backwards. Always go forward. Always think forward in him. And ask God your hard questions. All the things you don't understand for the life of you, please ask the Lord. Because he can give a simple answer that you can receive and understand. Some things may take longer for you to get, but never mind that. Ask him anyway. And then you're giving the Lord something to work with every time you learn his ways. It makes the enemy have a hard time lying to you when you're receiving more and more truth in your heart. And it all works together to make your life better and easier to operate. We just have to learn how to operate according to the kingdom of God. And a lot of people live a stalemate trying to operate in according to the world and then according to God at the same time. Well, when you learn to operate according to the kingdom of God and you learn kingdom principles, it makes this world stress-free. Virtually stress-free. You don't have to have stress in your heart when you're doing things according to God's guidance. This is life. This is a living way. And anytime the Word of God is planted in good ground, that's the kind of heart that can produce fruit. Righteous fruit. Righteous fruit. Good fruit. People who are worried and frustrated and always looking to other things, they don't produce fruit. Even if they want to. And these are good people. You know, even seeds that are sown on thorny ground, you know, they don't allow the word to penetrate their heart. And they always jump and do something, and they stress themselves. And they end up falling for the traps in this world. And God, these are people that God loves. And I love them. You know, even the people on the wayside, they just won't give it a chance. They won't listen. The enemy keeps, when the word is sown to help them, they spit it out. They don't receive it. They're convinced of something. And these are people that God loves too. But if the word can get in that heart of theirs, then they'll be able to judge for real. A lot of people, their judgment is clouded by the world, and they can't receive the word because they're set up for the kill. And while they're out there playing with the world, the enemy is lying to their mind, trying to get his thoughts in their heart so that they'll reject the word of God. And he give people false opinions against people that can show them the truth. And all of this is happening in real time. And some people become bitter, and they always reject the truth. When the word of God is spoken, they keep rejecting it to their demise. And they end up hurt. They end up frustrated. And then they end up dead. If those who trust sin, they always have problems. Because sin can't answer you. It can't help you. It's not an No sin is an answer for you. All sin will cause you trouble and bitterness. All of it will. It'll work against you. But the love of God and kindness of God always works together to help you in this life. And all things work together for good to those who love God, those who are called according to his purpose. Because if you in the following verses, you see where they are praying in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is helping them pray. And when you get to the verse that I just quoted, that's the result of praying in the Holy Spirit. You're giving the Holy Spirit a chance to help guide you, help you pray, help you understand what you may not and what you don't. And it's all right if we don't understand some things. The Lord knows how to get an answer to us because he loves us so much. And he cares about us in real time. God is good. His mercy endures forever. His grace, his kindness. Brother Horton said his cassette is spelled K-H-E-S-S-A-D. And that's the Jewish word. It's a Jewish word which means not only mercy and grace, but the goodness and kindness, the responsibility, the choice to be a blessing to us in every way there is. And that, my friend, does endure forever. He's right. And like Brother Horton said, the Lord is highly motivated to bless us in every way there is. He set us up to operate no different than he does. And he cares about us. He is for us, not against us. It's the enemy that slanders God. Cold religion is Satan's replacement for the truth. Cold religion slanders God. Cold religion has people wondering whether God wants to bless them or not. Cold religion looks at God as if he is a selfish king. Cold religion takes advantage of the people. Cold religion slanders true ministers. And it's a struggle for people that have never believed on Jesus to believe God. The more they trust this world and the slander of the world system, the harder it is for them to believe and have true, sincere faith in the Lord. A dear friend of mine once said, you know, them preachers, they just want your money. I said, not all of them. I said, they want people to go to heaven. We're minding our own business and the Lord called us to the ministry. And when you have the life of God in you, you want to help people. But they never experience that. You can even go to church for years and never experience the life of God. Because you have to get saved first. And, you know, I was a child of a pastor, a man of God. I didn't know how he felt. I didn't know how my dad and my mother felt until I believed for myself. And it's like, oh, I didn't know that this existed. In my world, you didn't feel God's presence. I never got saved, so I didn't know. Anybody that never believed on Jesus Christ for themselves, they have no idea. There's nothing in the world that can help you relate to what it's like to be saved and in Christ and feel his peace and presence. To never feel lonely again. You know that he's always there. Even when you have problems, you still have peace. Even when things don't go right, you still have peace and joy. But the wisdom of God will help you conquer your problems. The wisdom of God will help you conquer your problems. And as you learn God's word, your problems, you won't see them as big anymore. Just like David didn't see Goliath as big anymore. Because he lived in God's presence. And the Lord is trying to do good things for us and bless us. But cold religion falsifies who God is. He said on the radio, how much they pay you to preach on the radio? I said, I have to pay them. And it costs as much as a car, a good one. I said, every weekend it's $100 for every weekend. And I pay the whole bill once a month. It costs as much as a nice car. And his eyes got big. Oh. And people, you know, you do what you have to do to get the word out. I value God's word getting to his people. And I take my assignment that God gave me serious. Even other Christians can't take it as serious as I do. They have to, whatever God gives them to do, they'll take, if they love God enough, they'll take their assignments serious. And you do whatever you have to do to get the job done. Now, I also knew by the way I was treated by pastors, I said, I knew people would not be so motivated to give into this ministry. I knew it from the beginning, but I don't worry about how much people give and how much they don't. One blessed lady gives me $100 every month. And she's been doing so for the last 3 years. And it's been a tremendous blessing and a help. God always has a ram in the bush. Somebody that, and she does it for the right reasons. In my ministry, I don't coerce people into giving. I give the invitation and the address from time to time so people can mail in proceeds. Another lady brought sent me $50. And that's it. And I thank God for that. And the rest, I work on these cars and fix them, and it doesn't bother me. I love God. I love His word. I love His will. I love His people. And I will do it as long as I have breath in my body and strength in my arms. I will do this. And thank God that I can. And I welcome help. You know, it's important. But it's a blessing. The website has the information on the contact page. If anybody want to give, they can. But the main thing I want is for people to receive the word and do what God say do. If they can do, we got to do this thing. We have work to do. We all have something important to do for the Lord. Never underestimate what God can do in your life. He'll take he'll take the time you have left, the strength in your life, and by His Spirit, He'll put it all together and show you how to win souls. I suggest receive all the word that you can in your heart. Ask God all the questions you want to ask Him and pray in the Holy Spirit so He can position you into His perfect will. It's worth it. God has been sadly misrepresented by the world system. The world system says God don't want you to have fun our way. Cheat, lie, lust, greed. Get rich the way you want to. It doesn't matter who you hurt. Hurt them before they hurt you. Don't be the first to get God. That's how the world think. And that's how they live. And that's what they brag about. It's in the entertainment. It's in their song. But not everybody in the world loves the word. Some people don't love it. They just don't know any different. And in that world, there was nobody around to stand in the gap. There was nobody that represented God right. And there are some neighborhoods, there is no churches for miles. And the children never think to go to church. Even Christmas is just a toy holiday. They forgot the reason of it. Because their parents never had a relationship with the Lord, and their grandparents never had a relationship with the Lord. These are the people who don't know what they're missing out on. They never, ever felt the peace of God in their heart. They don't know what it's like for the Lord to wake them up and give them thoughts. They don't know what it's like for God to give them dreams and visions and show them things. Wake them up and have them pray for people. They don't know His joy, His mercy. They don't know it firsthand, and they don't know it secondhand. And there are places in this wonderful country it was built on the Word of God. There were many believers that came here and walked the line. And they wrote it out of the history books. There are so many things that have happened that were right, not the wrong things, but right things that was never taught in our school systems. Now, in the 50s, they did. But in 1960, they wanted to take they started eating food. The World War II was over. People started prospering. The average home had at least one car, and they were beginning to have two cars. And we're in the South. In my world, growing up, in my neighborhood, from the time I was 3 years old, my mother moved into a brand new neighborhood in Roslyn Heights near Zion City. In Birmingham, Alabama. In 1966, in November, we moved in a brand new house. My dad had a car, my mother had a car. And all of my friends, most of their parents, the father had a car and their mother had a car. And this was in 1966. People were prospering. In my world, people were pretty much well off. But they worked. We weren't rich. We knew about rich people. Rich people had much more. But we were blue-collar working people, teachers, factory workers, welders, people that worked in plants like my dad. And some of them was educated, was highly educated. But in those days, black people didn't get good jobs. My uncle finished business school, but he worked at Stockholm. My auto mechanic teacher was a mechanical engineer, but he taught high school auto mechanics. I was taught by the best. He was better than an average mechanic. You know, you do what you have to do with what you have. Things are not going to always be handed to you. Mr. Smith was a certified welder, a good welder, taught me how to weld. And my uncle was very industrious. He worked at Stockholm too. He had a business degree. He gave me a car. And in the truck, I saw where he had been to business school. And finished. But God is good. The world will short you, but God will not. And sometimes the people were treated so mean in the world, it's hard, it's a challenge for them to believe that God is not like the world. And God is nothing like the devil. He's the opposite. And when you don't know what to think, you're challenged in how you think. When you don't know what to think, you're challenged in how you think. And the enemy is continually showing you the worst. But you have to look to the Lord. And when I look at men and women, I see potential in everyone. I learn from the Lord. God is good, and what he does is good. And he put part of himself in everybody. Every race has potential. Every person. Jesus died for all of us. And I value people higher than they expect. February is considered Black History Month in America, which it is. And a lot of black contributors are recognized in the month. Because history don't always talk about it. So they to make sure that black people got recognition, they made it February, the month we would recognize the contributors of black history, which is wonderful. But I'm not a racist. And I was ministering at my dad's Methodist church years and years ago. And I love all people. You know, that's just the way I am. And the Lord just caused me to say something that was true in my heart. And the Lord will do that sometime. In the course of my message, I said, I don't have a favorite race. I love every race God has made. And that's the way to be. I don't see the pigment of skin and the different types of hair. I see people that God loves and cherishes. And that's the way it is. That's the way it's supposed to be. But every race has their own challenges because of Satan and the way he do things. He's trying to set people up to harm them. And I decided a long time ago, after I became a Christian, I'm going to do everything that Jesus gave me to do. If as I learn it, I'm going to do it with all I have. And I will not hate people. I don't use derogatory terms for anybody. I hate it when people do that. And I don't care what race they are. I don't like to hear anybody talk about God's people. Sometimes I leave the presence of people who will do something like that. I don't like that. And I will never like it. Because that's like a slap in Jesus' face. He died for these people. He died for all of us. We're all in the same boat. We on one planet and it's round. And we need to love each other like he loved us, according to 1 Peter. Paul didn't care what race you was. He wrote to the church.